Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson.
Welcome, one and all. Happy Saturday. Thanks for tuning in. Mary Pat's here as well.
Good afternoon.
All right. Our first guest on the show is Liz Carroll. She is the executive director with the Indiana Assisted Living Association. Welcome to Boomer Radio.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Well, I like your little acronym, ENALA. It's easy to say. Sounds like something on The Lion King, but we know it's not. tell us about your association. What is it? What do you guys do?
Well, what we try and do is be a resource for consumers while at the same time supporting our assisted living industry members.
Well, I know that our television show, Boomer TV, went to one of your facilities and it got rave reviews. Which facility was that, Mary Pat, that they went up to?
Oh, that was Woodland Terrace of Carmel.
Okay. Oh, my. They were talking all about it. So that's just one example of what you represent, correct?
Yeah.
Correct?
Correct.
So there's some options for assisted living, options in our state. And you can kind of define what you want, and then your organization will help maybe a baby boomer or someone who's going to go towards assisted living, move in that direction, find a good fit.
Absolutely. And finding a good fit is so important. There are a lot of different options to choose from, a lot of different amenities to look at. So we are getting more senior living communities in the state all the time. So people have a lot to choose from.
Do you feel like baby boomers these days are kind of redefining assisted living?
Oh, absolutely. Because they're looking for different things. They're looking for more. The baby boomer generation is, they're active and they know what they want. And they ask questions, and they are definitely, they're in the driver's seat with this.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, I remember visiting, like, my husband's grandmother in an assisted living facility, and it was, I don't know, it was a little depressing, I'll be honest. It's like they had a communal place to eat, and then they each had their own little room, and there was a little communal place to watch TV. It was, I don't know, kind of drab a little bit. I don't feel like assisted living is so much like that. And of course, this is 20 years ago. Things have changed quite a bit.
They have. I think we're a lot more dynamic as an industry, really more focused on the consumer than we have been in the past. I think the first assisted livings, maybe we're a little bit
clinical,
nursing home-like,
yeah,
little institutional.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I would say that they're really focused on supporting seniors in the lifestyle they choose.
Or they're used to a degree.
Yes, or they're used to, or they want to become used to.
Maybe less
stairs,
yeah.
The Woodland Terrace community, somebody there said it looked like a cruise ship land in terms of the amenities available.
Well, Mary Pat, you've been there. What did you think? Is that a good description?
Oh, yes, and I've been in several of these retirement facilities all over Indianapolis, and I got to tell you, Woodland Terrace is way up there. But the thing is, a lot of people are going to assisted living for a couple of reasons, as you know, Liz. Socialization.
Ah.
You know, not being home alone in the wintertime, mm-hmm, by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many opportunities and things, but it's the perception, don't you think, Liz?
Yeah, I think the perception we need to change. I think that people need to visit these communities. If they're thinking about assisted living, go visit a couple of communities and find what the right fit is for you, because different things are important to people, as we know, and they should be able to find a community that's right for them.
So what are some of the new things, I mean, for 2018? What are you seeing in assisted living? I mean, I hear that people can even bring pets to some of these places.
Oh, absolutely. You should look at whether it's pet friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You should have a meal, because I think you'd be surprised about the dining experience. It really is an experience. It's not just, here's that green plastic tray with a plate of food on it and you eat what's served. There are menus. It's a restaurant style dining. So that's one thing. I was talking to a group of residents the other day, and they said what was really important to them was the ease of getting to religious services, because those were held on site.
So they have like a chapel on campus? What?
almost everyone will have a
okay.
a chapel or a place that can be used as a chapel in different religious
denominations.
Communities things. Will come in and provide services. So that's really important. There are things for the grandchildren to do, video games. Sometimes they will even have folks on site who can help you a little bit with your tech support. You know, I don't know about you all, but once in a while I find myself going, now, what do I need to do with this
right.
TV remote? Because something broke and now I can't see. So, or the computer, something's wrong. So that's a nice thing. Buses to take you where you need to go, people who will do your housekeeping for you.
Do you have a beauty salon?
Some laundry for you. Absolutely, beauty salons. There are places that have doctors or nurse practitioners who come on site to hold clinics. You know, it's possible even to have, say, a dental hygienist come in and do a tooth cleaning for you while you're there. So, you know, if you think about it, then ask about it, because there may be somebody out there who can provide it for you.
You know, Liz, one thing I know that your organization provides is questions that boomers, when they go with their parents or for themselves at this point, that they should be asking or looking for. You're that resource, right?
Absolutely. We do a lot of blog postings on our website about different topics for seniors, you know, questions to ask when you're searching for an assisted living community. We've got calculators on the website that can kind of help you think about what am I paying now and what costs would be would go away if I moved to an assisted living community. We've got maps of assisted living communities, and we even have something that will tell you with the communities what their amenities are.
You know, I'm looking at your website, which is inassistedliving.org, and under resources, it does say assisted living terminology, educational resources, find a community, paying for assisted living calculator. That is so smart to have that on there.
Well, we like to think so, and we're always trying to improve on the website. So if people have things they can't find, they can also call me, and I'll try and give what assistance I can if they have questions.
That's nice. So, so you don't know what the questions are. You help with that. How do you have that conversation, say, with an aging parent?
You know, I think it's a hard conversation to have because people are used to where they live, and most of us don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can start by saying, you know, this is what you currently need. This is how we're providing it for you. But let's think about the future. And if you need more, let's start planning for that. You know, you can have a long trajectory for a move if you start planning early and talking about it early and visiting communities, because that's how you get rid of the perception that these are not as nice as what they are.
So when is it time to have that conversation? Does that just depend on individuals? Or, I mean, we had a guest on here that wrote a book, and I it stuck in my brain. He's like, in your early 50s, you should be having the conversation amongst your couple self. But when do you have that conversation? When's a good time with your parents? I mean, my parents are 84. They're independent at the moment, but I feel like that conversation probably should happen sooner than later. Right?
You know, my folks, yeah, absolutely. My folks are in their 80s, and we have had aspects of that conversation. We've talked about snow and ice in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if you fall, and wouldn't it be nice to not have to worry about home maintenance? And, you know, let's start maybe participating in some activities that are going on that are open to the public.
Yeah, being active.
So, mm-hmm.
So that's so you sort of would angle it, knowing your own family situation, you could sort of hit on topics that you know definitely affect them, it sounds like. That's a good way to go.
Yes, I uh-huh. think that's the okay. that's the best way to start.
Okay.
And, you know, at some point I think we all say, this house is too big, or I'm tired of worrying about washing these windows, or, you know, I've been preparing meals for 70 years, and yeah. I wouldn't mind if somebody else did it for me.
That's really excellent, all excellent points. We're talking to Liz Carroll. She's the executive director with the Indiana Associated, I didn't say it right, Indiana
Assisted Living
Association. And I know this because we were doing wraps for the Boomer TV show, and that's where we, you know, mention what's coming up on the show. And you will be featured actually on our show next Tuesday. We're on WFYI 7:30 p.m.
Yeah, 26.
On Tuesdays, on the 26th. So that's very cool. So you'll have to watch it. We're glad people are listening to hear about it. So we'll get the information out in a lot of different ways, won't we, Liz?
Yes, and we really appreciate it. I think assisted living is such a great option for consumers, and I love it that you're helping us get the word out.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much. And again, the website, in as in IN, Indiana, inassistedliving.org. And your number, you mentioned they could call you, so let's give it up.
Okay, it's 317-733-2390, and that's a direct line. So 317-733-2390.
Wonderful. Liz Carroll, the executive director of the Indiana Assisted Living Association. Thank you for being on Boomer Radio.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back. We've got more, so stay tuned to Freedom 95.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. This is Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
All right. Welcome back. Our next guest is Ann Poindexter. She is with Altman Poindexter and Wyatt. Are you the Poindexter and Poindexter?
I am. Well, thank you.
I love it. So are you a partner with this firm?
I am indeed one of the founding partners of the firm.
I love it. Usually when the name's in the, you know, title, then that's a partner. See, listen and learn, Mary Pat.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
But it's nice to have smart friends. So we're excited that you're on our show today. We're going to talk about, we've had you on Boomer TV before. There's fascinating information that you provide, you and your firm provide, that I don't think all baby boomers are aware of. So,
well, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Julie, don't forget, she's been writing for the magazine since I started it like 7 years ago.
That I did not know.
Yes. I didn't
oh, my
think
gosh.
You did. I forgot.
Yeah,
tell you.
Those articles are fascinating. I love our magazine, too. I'm kind of in love with the TV show, the magazine, and the radio show. But anyway, welcome. We're going to talk about advanced directives. What are advanced directives? What do we need to know?
Well, what you need to know is advanced directives are all about personal choice. And advanced directives really relate to our own medical care and making sure that we get to make our personal choices. And so advanced directives, if you think about the title logically, mm-hmm. are about putting some of those choices in place in advance, just in case we're not later able to articulate or make our medical decisions because of a cognitive disability.
Okay, so medical decisions, I heard that loud and clear. So an advanced
yes, ma'am.
Directive could be if I get to the point of this, this, and this, I do not want you to, like, no resuscitation kinds of choices.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say, Julie, that is probably the single most common advanced directive that people are aware of is a DNR, a do not resuscitate.
Okay.
And here's some great news. You don't need a lawyer for that.
Oh.
It is a state form. Google it. Go okay. get the form. Talk to your doctor about it.
Oh, well, that's good information. But not all of it is like...
It's not good for Ann.
Well, I mean, but that you can't get everything from a state form. You need some advice. You need an expert.
Right. So I encourage everyone to have a conversation with an attorney because there's a whole variety of advanced directives. You know, first of all, there's a living will, and that's about making really big decisions ahead of time in the event that you're terminal and your death's going to occur in a short period of time. Do you want them to take extraordinary measures to keep you alive, put you on machines? Do you want to be kept alive artificially by feeding tubes, artificially supplied nutrition and hydration? It's big issues in the living will. And then you can do a healthcare directive where you simply give someone else the power to make medical decisions for you if you're not able.
I believe a lot of spouses do that. for each other.
And spouses do, you mm-hmm. know, because one of the really sad things that we see from time to time is that within families, even under the best of circumstances, not all of the family members that show up at the hospital agree. Right?
Oh, right.
I'm a lawyer, so, you know, I like to debate people. But it's, seriously, if everybody shows up to the hospital and there are five people that have three or four or five different ideas, one person needs to be in charge and have the ability to make decisions and give directions to the doctors.
What do you call that person? That's not necessarily the executor or the...
No, executor is really a term for, you know, your will or your estate, but this person would be your healthcare representative.
Okay.
Or your healthcare agent, and it doesn't really matter which term that you use, but either in a medical power of attorney or a healthcare directive, you can appoint and give someone else the power to make those medical decisions for you.
Okay.
And then they just make the medical decisions, not the financial. I mean, unless you tell them they can do that too, right?
Great. And that's a great point, Mary Pat, because you can do, for example, a power of attorney that covers both sides of it. You could give the same individual the power to handle all of your financial and business affairs and to make medical decisions for you if you're not able, or some of us, you know, our resources, our go-to people, are not skilled necessarily on both sides of the equation. And so we might want to give one person the financial power, but another person the medical powers. So they can be packaged together or they can be separated.
You know, that's what we did in our family. My brother's a CPA, so he did all the finance stuff. My sister's a nurse, so she did all the medical stuff. I just made sandwiches, but anyway.
You mean for your parents? For your
yes,
parents?
For my parents, yes.
Well, it's nice that you, in your family, you actually have those diverse skills.
No,
That's nice.
It really was.
Made sandwiches. Yeah.
And that's an excellent example of just what I was talking about. You know, it depends on who we have available to us. And we don't always have a nurse and a CPA in the family. But, you know, over a lifetime, we can think of this family member was the calmest during medical events or crisis. And this person's always, you know, really done fairly good managing money.
Mm-hmm. Now, does this have to be someone in state? Because I know with some certain things in a will, at least in Florida anyway, where my parents live, you know, there has to be somebody in the state. You know where I'm going with this?
I do, Julie. And so, again, another good question. And the answer is no, they don't have to be in state.
Okay.
I mean, think about whether we like it or not, the time in which we live. I mean, I have appointments with clients over FaceTime. I have them on Skype. I mean, you know, technology is such that we don't have to have an individual right here in the state to appoint them. What I do think is a really good idea from a practical standpoint is when I prepare these documents for my clients, I put cell phone numbers in it. So if I'm going to give Mary Pat the power to make my medical decisions, I know that she's hardly ever without her cell phone. And so it doesn't matter if she's traipsing around in Alaska or she's down in the Speedway, the doctors or the hospital can call her up on her cell phone.
Okay.
I'd like to beat either one of those.
Right? You are stuck in a studio with me, girl.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I see, you know, I'm looking at some notes that I had taken. You know, one of the important decisions that people need to think about and make are about organ and tissue donation. What do we do
Absolutely.
Legally in that regard?
So there are a couple of things that people can do on organ and tissue donation. You know, I tell everyone the single best practical thing you can do is go get a new driver's license and have that little heart put on your driver's license, because there are lots of times when we might have a significant medical event and we might not survive where people are looking at our identification and processing records. And so that's the single most practical, important thing that people can do. But if you want to do more, you can actually have an attorney assist you in preparing a form specifying what you're willing to donate. For example, you know, are you only willing to donate organs? Right. Are you willing to donate skin? Are you willing to donate your entire body? I mean, schools need cadavers for students to learn on. What are you really okay with, and what do you want to do?
And I think there, you know, there's, you have to differentiate if you have strong desires.
Absolutely, because again, what did we say at the beginning? Advanced directives are about personal choice.
Right. Well, you know, I'll just give you an example. My husband has a road ID. It's like a bracelet that has information because we're both runners. Like if he's outside by himself and something happens, it's got my number on it, my daughter's number. He also recently got a new one that specifically said he is an organ and tissue donor. He had that. I mean, he feels that strongly about it. So it's on his arm. It's on his license. I know. I know that that's something he wants to do.
I love that because he's doing everything he can from a practical standpoint to communicate and make sure that his choices are carried out.
Mm-hmm. He's being very proactive in that regard. What do we not cover?
Absolutely.
What is a post form?
Well, thank you, because that's what we didn't cover, and that's one of my favorites. You know, in law, we don't get a lot of new things rapidly. You know, we use some of the same old forms or procedures that we've had for a long time, but POST is our newest advanced directive, and POST stands for Physician-Ordered Scope of Treatment. And so POST, and one of the reasons it's my favorite is because going back to personal choice, a POST form lets you make many, many, many decisions on this form in advance. You know, how do you feel about antibiotics? How do you feel about steroids? How do you feel about these different procedures? And a POST form, remember what I said it stood for, physician ordered. It is actually another one of those state forms, but it's a form that you go to your doctor, and to be eligible for it, you have to be elderly or chronically ill or disabled, so that you and your doctor at those critical times can then start planning and make all of those choices in advance.
Wow. That's great information to have.
Well, I think one of the points, Anne, is that people need to do it before they have something bad happen.
Yeah, be proactive.
Yes.
Talk to somebody.
Absolutely. Personal choice, making choices in advance, and planning both so that your choices and wishes are carried out. But there's another benefit, because it takes burdens off of our family and our loved ones.
Yeah,
they don't have to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. They at least have the comfort of knowing that this is what you chose and wanted.
Very good. And Poindexter with Altman, Poindexter, and Wyatt. How can one of our listeners or any of them get a hold of you? Do you have a website?
We do have a website. So it is www.apwlawyer.com.
That's easy enough. Apwlawyer.com. Thanks for being on Boomer Radio today. Very informative. We appreciate it.
Thank you, ladies.
Thanks, Ann.
All right. And you're listening to Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Music sets the tone, doesn't it?
Very nice.
We're going to have a dramatic ending here. Thank you for tuning in once again, and we hope that you learned something on the show today. I always do. Mary Pat, so we've got this fabulous thing called Boomer TV happening every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. on WFYI. And we'd love for you to tune in, because some of our guests we do have on the radio as well as the TV show.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, I know on the 26th, you know, we just talked with
Liz Carroll?
Yes.
Yeah, from the Indiana Assisted Living Association. We do a nice segment on the TV show coming up on Tuesday. You'll want to watch.
See how when you get older, it's important to have boomers that remember what you're going to say to say it.
Well,
so.
I wrote it down. That's the only reason I have it.
Well, I got to tell you, there's one segment on there I am so excited about, and I just got to see it a couple days ago. It's you interviewed Ted Green.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so we pre-taped the segments that air on the TV show. Obviously, it's not all live. This guy is fascinating. He's a prolific writer and director, and he does it all. He's recently... I don't know. Did you see the Crispus Attucks
feature? No, but I'm really interested in
on
that.
On WFYI. Well, this is his latest. It's about a woman named Eva who survived...
Holocaust.
The Holocaust camps.
Mm-hmm.
She and her twin. Yeah. Yes, experimented on by Mengele. So it's this fascinating story, and he followed her literally for 2 years. They went back over to Auschwitz, mm-hmm. and she but tells her story.
But it's a story of inspiration.
Agreed.
I mean, I got goosebumps. It's about how this woman has triumphed, and she has had the guts, I would say, to go back to Auschwitz after what they did to her.
To face that.
But she her biggest thing is learn to forgive your worst enemies, and she has. Because it releases your soul, or your heart. No, your soul.
And she is a Terre Haute resident, so that's one of the reasons that Ted found her. So it's fascinating. So the TV show every Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. WFYI. The magazine is in all Kroger stores.
Yep.
And so you can pick that up. And, of course, we always appreciate you listening to Boomer Radio right here on Freedom 95. So go out and have a great rest of your Saturday.